Hey, NFers, we have a sponsor on the podcast today.
Today's episode is brought to you by
the Boomstick Podcast. It's unedited and raw. It's wildly unprofessional and not very good. Current events, sports, politics, and whatever hooves into these two dummies' heads. It's the Boomstick Podcast with Boomer and Stickrod, a Midwestern perspective nobody needs or asks for. Listen until you get tired of listening. My buddy Christian Stickrod's got a podcast.
See, I thought it was about the Evil Dead.
Sure.
But it's a political podcast.
It is.
So it's about the evil living people.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. What's so cool about this? This is a buddy. I've mentioned him on the show 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Christian.
Former Des Moines comedian.
Yeah, he did some open mics. He grew up a Glenwood Ram. He's a lawyer. He's super smartest guy I know when it comes to politics. Good politics, too. You know, he knows the right people to know. And so if you're an NFer and you're a little politically minded, go check out the Boomstick Podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
Groovy.
Oh shit, we don't have a theme song.
Oh shit, you're right, what are we gonna do?
I don't know, like, do we have time to buy something?
No, we just have to riff.
We're gonna just riff it?
Oh shit, it's the Nostalgic Front, a podcast from Patrick and Reem. We like movies, TV, and games. Junk food, juice boxes, forgotten things.
Oh wow, that was adequate.
Yeah, that was like pretty good.
Yeah, are we just gonna use it for every episode?
I think we should. I think we have to.
Thank you for listening to The Nostalgic Front. I am Brandon Ream.
And I'm Patrick Hasty.
Hey, Patrick, how are we doing?
Oh, we're, let me think. Hold on. Goddamn. Fantastic.
Ooh, fun size fantastic.
Fantastic fun size on a goddamn normal recording time period.
It is. I'm excited. I'm excited about this episode.
I am too.
You know, they say a zebra can't change its stripes, but Beetlejuice can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say it twice.
What?
Don't say it 2 more times.
Beetlejuice?
Don't say it again!
I can say it as many times as I want, because I'm talking about the star. The
star, yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The star of the Tim Burton film.
Yeah. Beetlejuice. Now, here's the deal. This isn't what we were going to do the fun size about today.
Mm-mm.
We'd been talking about it. You know, we send texts back and forth.
Yeah.
We had some other ideas suggested. BMs, yeah. And then what happened was last night, I made a literal last minute call. Last night, I'm watching television, and I see this film, Beetlejuice. And mm-hmm. I, like, this
Dun-dun.
Is, no shit.
Dun-dun.
I was like, this is great. And then I went to our website, thenostalgicfront.com, and then I clicked on our Podbean thing on there, and then I searched in our Podbean Beetlejuice, because I thought we had already done a fun size about it, and
really?
We hadn't. So then I was like, well, fuck, that's got to be what we do then. So this morning during breakfast.
We've only done one Burton film.
What was it, Batman?
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question about Tim Burton. Do you think, okay, you know, who's the guy that played Buddy Holly? You know what I'm talking about?
Gary Busey?
Yeah. You know how he like.
Actually, my dad played Buddy Holly too, the record.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So did I played Buddy Holly not too long ago.
Yeah?
On
From
Spotify.
From Spotify, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know Gary Busey, like, hit his head? He was in a motorcycle accident?
Yeah, and if he didn't have teeth, he'd have died.
Yeah, is that real?
Uh-huh. He lived by the
skin
of his teeth.
If I had been drinking out of the toilet, I could have drowned. Remember that from Ace Ventura?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gary Busey wrecked that motorcycle, and then he's never been the same since? Like, he fucked his brain all up. Do you think Tim Burton wrecked a motorcycle, like, in 96 or something?
No.
Because, like, before that, like, everything from Mars Attacks before is so good. Ed Wood, Batman, even Batman Returns, Beetlejuice, Big Top Pee-wee, like, they're all so good. And then after that, it's like, fucking,
He didn't do Big Top Pee-wee.
No, whatever. All of those movies, though, are so good. And then everything after, like, 96, like, Sleepy Hollow's okay, but then it just started, like, Big Eyes is not good, fucking.
A lot of people like Big Fish.
Big Fish is okay, I guess, but it's not the same quality as,
Charlie,
like, these ones.
And
that's
the,
not good. Alice in Wonderland's not good.
No, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Neither of those are good.
Yeah, but look at all their box office.
Yeah,
receipts.
He's making money and shit now, too, but it's like. It's
Dumbo,
like,
wasn't
so
good.
Weird. Dumbo, I haven't seen it yet, but I can't imagine it's good.
It didn't look good.
It's just so weird to me that that's a thing that, like, he used to be so good. But anyways, so the one in particular,
I think a big part of it was I don't know, CG kind of killed
Yeah.
A lot of his, like, the, I don't know.
His inventiveness was the practical kind of.
He sold out.
Yeah.
For, I mean, hate to sound so, sound so cool guy and throw around that one term that we know to be able to say is cool guys, but I mean, come on.
I don't necessarily think he sold out. I think he just changed. Here's an idea. Remember on Monday's episode with our fantastic guest, Brian, we workshopped that fantastic video game. What was it? Mortal Kombat?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of workshopping a cartoon. Now, this is this is mine. Trademark. I was thinking about a cartoon series that is like kind of like a Muppet Babies, right? Or, you know, like when they made the Looney Tunes. But it's all film directors. So it's like little Tim Burton, little Steven Spielberg.
Little,
you know?
Kevin Smith.
Yeah. And I was just thinking of how insufferable little kid Tim Burton would be. But I was like, maybe not. I'd make him as a cool character because I liked young Tim Burton, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you know what they say.
Dark and weird.
Young Tim Burton.
Dumb Tim Burton.
Full of cum Tim
Full
Burton.
Full of cum Tim Burton. Let me read the Wikipedia on this. Since we are speaking about this one Tim Burton movie that we do love. I might speak too soon. Do you love this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love it, too.
It's one of my VHSs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Video home. What does VHS stand for? Video home system? Ooh, how do we not know this?
Video cassette recorder is a VCR.
VCR.
Video home system.
Do you have your cell phone? Look it up on your telephone.
I don't have enough data. What? I need to save it for the NFers.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to read the Wikipedia on Beetlejuice, okay?
Dun-dun.
Beetlejuice is a 1990... Oh, fuck. God, start again. Beetlejuice is a 1988 American fantasy comedy horror film directed by Tim Burton, produced by the Geffen Company, and distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures. The plot revolves around a recently deceased young couple, Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis, who become...
Well, you know what they say about recently deceased young couples, right?
Recently deceased young couples?
Mm-hmm.
Recently deceased dumb couples? Recently deceased full of cum cuts.
Sorry, I shouldn't be
I loved
doing
it.
Bits in the
hey,
middle of...
I say you can't pun in. You can come in anytime you want.
Unless you're a vampire.
Yeah, you're right. And then you have to be invited. Ghosts, okay. Who become ghosts haunting their former house. An obnoxious, devious poltergeist named Beetlejuice, pronounced occasionally spelled Beetlejuice in the movie, portrayed by Michael Keaton from the Netherworld, who tries to scare away the new inhabitants, which is Catherine O'Hara, Jeffrey Jones, and Winona Ryder, permanently. After the success of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Burton was sent several scripts and became disheartened by their lack of imagination and originality. When he was sent Michael McDowell's original script... Wait, Michael McDowell?
Yeah.
Wait, who's that?
It's the guy from the Doobie Brothers.
Is that fucking real?
Michael,
his original script for Beetlejuice, Burton agreed to direct, although Larry Wilson and later Warren Scarron were hired to rewrite it.
Scarron. The guy that did the final rewrite on Beetlejuice.
His name's Scarron.
His name was Scarron.
Do you remember when I used to do stand-up with my wife, Scarron? Remember that? She used to come to the Fremont Open Mics in Des Moines. Beetlejuice was a critical and commercial success, grossing U.S. $73.7 million. From a budget of just $15 million, it won the Academy Award for Best Makeup and 3 Saturn Awards for Best Horror Film, Best Makeup, and Best Supporting Actress for Sylvia Sidney. Who the fuck is Sylvia Sidney?
What the fuck's a Saturn Award?
Yeah, well, a lot of bullshit
in
this
instead of
sentence.
A trophy, what do they give you, a ring?
It was Sylvia Sidney's final award before her death in 1999. She was the older woman that worked for the dead company now. Remember her when they go through the wall?
They have.
She is good.
They built that opera house when she died.
Yeah. The film spawned an animated television series, video games,
and
a musical that's out right now.
Animated television series.
Wow. Okay. So Michael McDowell was a.
Killed Captain Kirk.
The guy who started writing it.
He was in Caligula and Clockwork Orange.
He was an American novel. That's who I was thinking of. Malcolm McDowell. That's who I was thinking of when I read his name earlier.
Not Michael McDonald?
No. He's an American novelist and screenwriter, and this is sad. He's passed away. He died in 1999, but Stephen King said he's the best writer of paperbacks in America.
King, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't vote for him.
I didn't vote for him. But yeah, so that's interesting. So that's the film. Now, what's your Beetlejuice history? Tell me about it.
It was one of my VHSs, so I've seen the movie
watch it
30
a billion times.
Plus times.
It's a movie that much like...
it's a movie.
It's a movie. So when this came out, what year was that? 88. So here's where I was at that time period. I was being babysat by this lady named Elaine, and it was in the house that one of my best friends, JJ, would later move into. But it was just me and then a bunch of other kids and then my cousin Dustin, and we were being babysat there. And this is the same house where I was being babysat when last week's Fun Science.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. Movie.
So this was Beetlejuice is a movie that I remember sitting around the table in the morning breakfast with all these people, and then like all of us kids being like, Beetlejuice looks so good. Have you seen it? Oh, we got to see it. Oh, let's go see it this weekend. And being like, Elaine, can you take us to see Beetlejuice? And then eventually having all the toys there, we had all the Beetlejuice toys, which kicked ass because they did like the special stuff and like the you know, the fucking face would fall off and stuff.
By Kenner.
Yeah, and so Beetlejuice was huge to me at that point. And then the movie, I'll be honest, scared the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah?
Yeah. The scene when they first look into the closet and she's hanging there looking dead. And when she's holding, right after that, when she's holding the knife and got fucking Baldwin's head.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a little kid, I mean, I would watch the movie all the time, but it was one of those things where it was like a self-imposed, like, oh, I'm going to go get a soda.
The thing that always scared me was Realm of Lost Souls.
Yeah, that was scary.
Now
that I've watched Dune, a lot of Dune in that. That fucking weird scary monster thing, you know?
Never seen Dune.
You gotta see it, but if you like you never seen Dune? Sand Dunes. Full of it.
You know who would hate Dune? Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. He hates sand. It gets everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's fantastic. Now, you would know off the top of your head, I'm too fucking dumb to look. Was this before or after Batman?
Before.
This is before Batman.
It was the first thing they did together.
Yeah. What a connection.
Michael
Keaton says that this is his favorite movie he's ever done.
It's one of his best performances.
Good. And that's another thing. He's only in it like 20% of the movie.
17 minutes.
Yeah. He filmed it all in like 15
Two
days.
2 weeks.
Yeah. And then everyone else is in it forever. Now.
Well, I think it's a nice model. Some would even call it a nice fucking model.
Yeah.
Meep, totally. Meep.
It's good. I think when I was rewatching it last night, which is probably the first time I've seen it in maybe 5-6 years, him, when he steps on that roach and then eats it, I think that is the through line to my absolute hatred of cockroaches, which I know nobody loves cockroaches, but like I'm so grossed out by him.
Some people do.
I think that's the scene because I think I associate it with like death study and all bugs? Immatologists, something like that. My friend Alistair's a bug. There's a lot of my high school friends referenced in this episode.
Wait, your friend Alistair is into bugs?
Mm-hmm.
His name doesn't happen to be Alistair Crawley, does it?
Uh-oh. Honestly, you know what? You're not going to believe this. It is.
That joke's got legs.
That's his name.
Really?
Yeah, his last name's Crawley.
Wow.
Hmm?
Creepy Crawley?
Not related.
Oh.
No relation to the other one, Alistair Crawley. Okay. He's an A-lister, though. You know that? My friend Alistair?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, spell his name. A. Lister.
Oh.
Also, he starred in the Avengers movie. Loved it. Loved Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
Rewatching it, so many scenes where I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's when I would hide. That's when I wouldn't watch, you know, because I'd be too spooked. Have you watched it lately? When was the last time you saw it, you think?
I watched it on Mushrooms a good 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's pretty
it's a musical.
Etched into
It's a
my...
musical when you watch it on Mushrooms, isn't it? Everybody's
no.
singing the whole time?
No, but it's pretty etched into my memory.
Yeah.
I've seen it enough,
too.
Oh,
for sure, yeah. I really, really did numbers for that Harry Belafonte song. That fucker.
It did numbers for our generation in Calypso.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just in general.
And according to the, I don't know if it's true, but according to the IMDb trivia, that was Catherine O'Hara's idea. That originally it was a different, they were going to do a different song. O'Hara, sorry. It was going to be some other random song that Tim Burton originally had done. And she was like, what if we do something Calypso-y, you know? And then that's what it was. And it's so iconic.
Sure. She's great and everything, but she's really just funny.
Oh, perfect.
In this, especially like her, like she's got some dumb hipster shit that she's doing too. Like I love where she's wearing a glove for a hat.
Yeah.
Art is.
And a lot of the clothes, like when she's wearing the glove for the hat and stuff, a lot of that stuff is being reused a lot. So like her wardrobe, like something that's a jacket in one scene is going to be later what her hat is made out of. So you can see like her totally like.
She's got a sweater on for pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's
great. And I this is part of that Tim Burton aesthetic, I think. But like, I do like how they do the house. That's fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The way it's all set up outside and stuff with like the open building.
That's one of the reasons I want to go and just say, number one, Frozen on Broadway.
So
that was
good.
Fun. But I kind of want to go see Beetlejuice on Broadway.
Oh, for sure.
Just because of the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Because it's based on all that funky, cool, like colorful goth.
It Burton. It just opened. I think it's the previews maybe are opening now.
Yeah.
And John Mulaney went, the comedian John Mulaney, friend of the show, fan of the show. He's a real NF-er. And
John Mulaney.
He's my butterfly.
My sugar baby.
Yeah. He went and he wrote like a really nice little thing about it, being like, oh, it's so great. And it's, if you love the film, you'll love it. And it's so good. And Tim Burton said something about how it like showed him things that like he never thought about for the show. Like it opened it up so much more.
It's kind of curious too, because I was reading about it earlier that one of the guys that like spearheaded it has been like going to Warner Brothers for like years and being like, yo,
yeah,
we need a theater division.
Sure.
Because they got all these properties and stuff
that other people are putting out and making the scratch.
Well,
on. Make it in-house, you're saying.
Disney's doing it. Yeah. Nobody else has been doing that. And it seems to be a trend now is to try and reboot some of these older properties. But it's kind of funny just how long Beetlejuice has managed to stay relevant.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, because it's not like, I mean, there's a lot of movies from that time period that fucking nobody should be giving a crap about anymore. But they had the Beetlejuice Rockin' Review at Universal Studios fucking ran for like 25 years.
Yeah. And didn't, now, am I incorrect in saying that when I showed up today, that's what you were watching?
Yeah.
Now that, you were not in the room at that moment, but that fucking thing, dude, like, he was like in the audience talking to some like a girl in the audience,
yeah,
who, not to be crass, had a huge rack, you know, and she's wearing stripes, and he's wearing stripes, and so he's talking to her, and he is like, I'm like, in this climate, this can't be on, you wouldn't do this, and there's like children everywhere, and he's like, oh, hey buddy, you want to come out here? We're gonna be gone for 20 minutes. Actually, it'll only be about 2 minutes. Let's get back here, you know.
Yeah,
it's like so sexual.
He opens with a poop joke. The whole the Beetlejuice Rockin' Review,
yeah,
opens with like him off stage being like, "Corn, I don't remember eating corn."
Oh, gross!
And then he comes out and makes a Creature from the Black Lagoon reference.
Jesus!
And it comes down there, it's like, "Hey, kids and family," and then it's kind of funny. One of them, they had a Brokeback Mountain joke.
Oh, really?
Uh huh.
Jesus!
But it was used just for the pun of Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like a homophobic joke.
Frankenstein jumps on his back.
Oh, yeah.
For a second, he was like, geez, you're talking about Brokeback Mountain.
And that's one of those things where, like, since the show is just constantly updated and stuff,
yeah,
like, that reference, that joke probably changes every couple years to a different reference.
They have the 1992 Beetlejuice Rockin' Review on the internets, and then they also have the final performance of the Beetlejuice Rockin' Review. Which he makes a lot more jokes about, like, hey, you trying to get me on Instagram?
Yeah. It's all like pop culture new.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus, he's talking about social media on there and everything.
That's awesome.
And it's just kind of funny. You know, I spent a good 20 minutes watching Rockin' Review.
Yeah,
My Beetlejuice Rockin' Review review.
Review of the Rockin' Review of the Beetlejuice Rockin' Review.
It's just funny that there, you know, all these like.
Also, it would have been, it would have been funny if your whole review was just, it's just funny. Yes, please.
But
tell
you
me.
Have all these like professional dancers,
yeah, yeah,
and like actors and everything, and just thinking about the people that's their gig,
yeah, yeah.
Where they just, I play guitar as Frankenstein in the Beetlejuice Rockin' Review at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.
Well, you know that like sometimes people that do those the Universal Studios and then like the Disney World out in or Disneyland and stuff. Those people sometimes are like big names and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? When they're young, they're actually actors that are working on it and stuff.
Yeah.
And
in Florida.
What's his name? What's his name? Why can't I pull?
Aaron Paul?
No, he was on. Are you thinking of what's Reno 911? I apologize. Reno 911.
Ben Garrett?
The black dude.
Okay.
What's his name?
Yancey? Yarborough?
Cedric Yarborough. God damn. I like literally my whole brain just fucking flashed. When he was on, when Reno 911 first started, he was playing Shrek at one of those events at Disneyland. Like, not like.
What, just putting it in the DVD for his nephew?
No, yeah. He was like the character in Grant and stuff. And then he would do
That's
Shrek.
That's a very layered role.
He was also doing Genie sometimes. And he said he literally one time, like during one of the things, he heard people be like, I think that's the guy from Reno 911. And he's like, I got to quit. I can't do this. I can't double dip no more.
Yeah.
But he wasn't making enough money during the first season of Reno 911 to quit his cash cow day job playing Shrek and the Genie, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's fucking, it's crazy how that works out sometimes, you know? When you were a kid, did you have a lot of the toys?
Yeah, I got, we talked about it on the action figure episode.
Oh, we did, yeah.
I got a whole slew of Beetlejuice toys from my aunt, which I'm assuming she just went to, wherever she could, to get toys.
Yeah.
And got the most for bang for the buck, because it was clearly like a Beetlejuice clearance. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When it's like, hey, why do I get so many of the weirdest character nobody cared about, you know?
Yep.
Or the weirdest one that nobody liked.
I got four Orbos, Orthos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
what's
that was
name?
My, yeah, that was my deal. I know I said it on that, on the action figures, but where I would just put the different, I'd stick a bunch of them in one bag and put a different sticker on it.
Beetlejuice, definitely the best movie about interior decorating that I know of.
I mean, yeah, I can't think of a better one.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out, find the name. That's what I've been doing for the listeners. I've been in my phone for a long time.
Yeah.
Somebody that's on, so Rory Scovel, comedian Rory Scovel, friend of the show, just like Mulaney.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
He's
we'll
real,
have him on.
He's a real and ever. He has a television show coming out to Comedy Central called Robbie, and I couldn't figure out who it is, but somebody that's involved with that show, like a co-producer, co-writer, or something like that, is one of the main people that's in, that's co-produces or co-writes or whatever, Beetlejuice, the musical on Broadway. And he was talking about how, like, he, on his, on Roy Scovel's podcast, he was talking about, like, that weird thing where you're, like, you're creating a show with a team and you're talking to all these people and everything. And then, like, out of the blue, you find out that, like, one of those people is also doing,
right,
like, a whole fucking other massive artistic thing. And you're like, ah, we don't do nothing. I don't do nothing, you know? Like, this was taking all my time. He's double dipping.
I heard Rory's got a hot dick.
Is this a Scovel?
Scovel units?
Yeah, I thought something was coming. Yeah.
Got
okay.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's fun. But yeah, so I'm excited for that musical. I never went to Universal to see this. I never got to see the live stuff, you know. I loved the cartoon though.
Oh, yes.
The cartoon's so good.
If my biggest list of comedic influences,
yeah,
it's like Mitch Hedberg, Zach Galifianakis, Beetlejuice from the cartoon.
Yeah, it's all puns, right?
It is. He literally, yeah. Not only that, if he can't do a pun, like, all by him, he turns into a thing to sell the pun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that, to make it really make sense.
And I used to think it was just so hilarious. I mean,
totally, totally.
Obviously, like, Beetlejuice was one of my favorite cartoons, and I fucking loved the puns. You can go through, like, most of the clips. There's so many, like, Beetlejuice pun compilations.
Yeah. Oh, really? Like, on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
That's
great. What most of it is.
What's cool about it was the show was good anyway. Like, it was a fun, I loved the cartoon anyway, but then a lot of the creators from it, a lot of the people from it and the writers and stuff like that, they all went on to X-Men, the X-Men animated series that we loved as a kid. And some of the voice cast too, because that's what, what's her name? Allison Court, who did the voice of, Lydia. She did the voice of Jubilee on the X-Men cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I can totally hear that.
Yeah, and it's funny because one of the writers or whatever.
Boy, it better be funny.
Oh, well, I hope so. One of the writers of, so one of the people that went from.
Winona?
Some of the people, yeah. Well,
that's the only writer I know from Beetlejuice.
Writer with a W. One of the writers.
Yeah, Winona.
You're right.
W, writer.
I hate that worked. One of the writers from Beetlejuice who went to X-Men, when they were doing casting, he literally was like, I really kind of hope, I like her, we're friends, but I kind of hope Allison doesn't get it because I've been sick of writing for this Lydia voice for so long.
Winona writing.
And then she ends up, yeah, and then she ends up getting Jubilee, and he spends the next 6 years writing more for her, that voice, you mm-hmm. know, which is pretty funny.
So if it's a superhero, that's more of a writer strong.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, I know, but like, I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Beetlejuice cartoon, too. It was heavily, it was one of those, it had two networks backing it up, too.
Yeah.
It like had a long run.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It was
more successful than I think most people would like. I think a lot of people just don't like, of a younger ilk,
yeah,
just don't understand how big of a deal Beetlejuice was and for how long,
mm-hmm.
too. I mean, and how relevant he he's still every Halloween too.
Yeah, he's still out there. Yeah. And it's also
I see him at Raider games every Sunday.
It's a thing that goth it really kind of was like, if you're a gothy kid, it was kind of like a dab your foot in the water for goth too.
I think it was one of the first like mainstream gothy things out there.
Yeah, totally. So too. It was like opening it. Cuz
Tim Burton really kind of like
that dude's gorth as hell.
Yeah, like that era, he like really beat the drum for Hot Topic before it was even a thing.
Yeah, totally. With that and the Nightmare
and Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm. Another Winona Ryder picture.
And Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh yeah, AMH.
When he comes back and he's like 7 feet tall and roided out. They gave the ooze to the kid from Breakfast Club, and he comes back as super shredded.
Should have called him Anthony Michael Tall.
Right?
This is the funny thing. On rewatching it through my 2019 eyes, one thing I thought was so funny was like, okay, so who's her father figures, Winona? It's like that guy who was like a fucking weird child porn guy, or Alec Baldwin, who's just a notorious asshole, and not just an asshole, but the person he's most known for being an asshole towards is his daughter, you know? So it's like, oh, fuck. But then her moms are Gina Davis, who has been nothing but amazing in her whole entire career.
Well, she didn't make it to the Olympics, so pump the brakes, okay?
But she almost made it to the Olympics. Like, that's fucking crazy, you know? And then Catherine O'Hara, who's like one of the greatest comedic minds of our generation and stuff like that. So it's like, just to be on set around those people, because you know how it is. Like, you hang out with comics and you know people and stuff. On set, I bet you that one dude was a creepy guy. Baldwin was probably a huge asshole. And I bet you Gina and Catherine were so sweet and nice, you know? So it's like, you get to be around those people.
Gina Davis was really sweet. That's why that fly loved her so much.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah. I had a huge crush on Gina Davis when I was a kid. I still do. She's wonderful. But
oh.
Yeah.
Dottie Henson.
And it's funny because she's so, in this movie, her character is so, both of them, her and Alec Baldwin in this, they don't play these characters in any other movies, you know?
No. Baldwin looks dorked out the entire time.
And also,
you don't know he's a fucking shadow.
Say what you want Tim Burton about him, and if he is a good director, or if he's not, or if he's sustained. He made Alec Baldwin likable like no one else ever has in film. Like, a lot of times he's playing an asshole or he's playing that ratchet up, but like, you root for Alec Baldwin in this movie. That's fucking weird. You don't do that in a lot of movies, even movies from that era and stuff. You don't do that a lot, you know? Was there any of the movie stuff that really stuck out to you? Like, any of your favorite parts?
Just
or something
a lot of
when
the visuals. Especially how, the ran over guy.
Oh, yeah.
The girl with the split wrist.
He's doing jokes.
The fucking cigarette guy.
Yeah.
Fucking all the tiny head people. Or, I mean, it's just Beetlejuice and him. But, I mean, just a lot of the dead stuff. And then just to like a lot of the art direction. And it's so cool when you have both Catherine O'Hara's crazy art that she's bringing in.
Yeah.
And, like the Netherworld stuff.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
What a really cool, like, whoever did the set design and all that
the
kind of
sandworms,
stuff.
The sandworms, the Beetlejuice spooky. Snake, just all of the cool visuals. What happens to the house during the Beetlejuice snake and how it completely changes the fucking model.
Oh, when, totally. The model set made me want to like models when I was a
kid. When Beetlejuice's grave is under little pieces of cardboard. Mm-hmm. The giant fly prop and how they did, like, it looks, that puppetry for the fly is amazing. And also, I love the voice of the fly when he's like, help me, help me. Hey, you want a second? Come here. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that. I just really, it's one of those things that's like, I could live in a world like, I could live in that.
Well, you're going to spend eternity in a world like that.
Sure. Boy, got real. One thing that's funny too is there's a line where the interior designer guy, he's like, she says she wants to kill herself.
Ortho?
Is that his
Orbo?
Name? Something like that. When he says, when she's
it's either Ortho or that's the name of the guy from He-Man.
Maybe. I feel like that's a He-Man name, but, he's like, she says she wants to kill herself and he's like, no, you know what happens if you kill yourself? You become a civil servant. And then they all laugh because it's like classist. But in that extra world, everybody that works there, all the paperwork people, all the people, they all have... they either slit their wrists or they hung themselves or they jumped in front of a bus or something, you know?
Oh, all those I never made that connection.
Yeah, all of them are that. I really like that last joke, the last Beetlejuice joke of the movie where he's like, he's got like number billion, you know, it's a long slip of paper.
Yeah.
And then the head shrinker, he's got number six or something.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, hey, look, it's the king. Hey, what's up, king? And then he looks over and then he flips papers and then they shrink his head. And I just like the kind of weird optimism Beetlejuice has where his head shrinks. He's like, oh, no, wait.
That's me.
And then he's like, oh, I think I can pull this off. I gotta like this. And it's like, I just like that weird optimism of Beetlejuice is so silly. Where it's almost like a flim-flam man. He's just like, oh, no, I can make this work for me, you know?
Uh-huh.
I really like that. Well, goddamn, we reach out to the NFers here, too. We ask them...
Real quick.
Oh, yeah, please. A
couple asides.
I'd love it. Actually, if you could talk...
I always used to wonder why...
Could you talk uninterrupted for maybe a minute so I can grab some water? Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Keep talking.
I used to wonder, like, why they would have the spelling of Beetlejuice in the film where... It's Beetlegeist the entire time, and it's like, why are they doing this? Turns out the reason they did that is because we, as a collective public, are stupid, or at least that's what executives feel, and I totally agree that we are stupid, because Beetlejuice was actually named for the star, you know, the second brightest star.
Yeah, straight on till morning.
Uh-huh. But it's always traditionally spelled, you know, with a G, Beetle, like Beetlegeist, but we'd all be
scientific.
If you put Beetlegeist on a fucking movie poster, every other person would be like, oh, Beetlegeist.
Yeah, what the fuck is
that? But it's actually Beetlejuice, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why they called it that.
I like the part, I was saying it'd be fun to have a band when he's like, you got to say my name, and he puts the Beetle, and the guy's like, ooh, and then he has the juice pouring.
Black Minute Maid.
And she says, like, Beetle Orange. Yeah. And then she says, like, something, like, all those things. I really like it. Beetle Glass, Beetle Pour. I like that little, like, run. And I was like, it'd be cool to have a band called, like, Beetle Orange or something.
You should
have
just put John Paul and George into a juicer.
Were juicers around back then?
Yes.
Well, all right. Hey, I'm
we
just
got
asking.
Juice. If juice is around, juicers are.
Oh.
They begat it.
Yeah, but when I think of a juicer, I think of a technical machine. Not
oh,
like
when I think of a juicer, I think of Jose Canseco.
Oh, yeah, that fucker. He was on the sauce like crazy.
Uh-huh.
There's one thing I wanted to say here. God damn it. What a fun... Like, it's one of those podcasts where, in doing the research, I learned so many things. I want to get it all out, but I'm afraid that it's, like, some of it's too much.
I know, you know? Adam Goldberg is... Adam Goldberg
from the Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs,
yeah.
He's self-financing and kickstarting a Beetlejuice documentary called
Oh, cool.
Documentary for the Recently Deceased.
Oh, that's great.
That's supposed to come out in 2020 that I'd like to check out when
oh,
it comes
for sure.
out.
Well,
after trying to do some crackpot research for this episode you just dumped on me an hour ago.
Hey, you're doing great on it, buddy. Huh. We're fucking 32 minutes in. I want to say this.
That's not even a real number.
This
so
is the thing
exciting.
I read that 32?
2032.
Oh, yeah. That's a real number as well. It's the year the fucking aliens attack.
In the year 2032-ish.
If man is still alive. This is something I learned on the trivia that I thought was funny, was that the studio, Warner Brothers, wanted to call it House Ghosts. That's what they wanted to call the movie. And Tim Burton, as a way to be like, okay, well, we'll just keep talking. Tim Burton suggested Scared Sheetless. And then the studio was like, that's pretty good. And then they actually wanted to run with that for a while. And he was like, ah, fuck. Like, my dumbass idea to just, you know, throw him off almost got it. Okay, so we go to the NFers. That sounds good.
We did.
Now, what we reached out to ask, very, you know, typical podcasting, you know, nothing. We didn't do anything crazy.
Uh-huh. I said, hey, talking Beetlejuice on the podcast today. Y'all got a favorite scene? And boy, like. This is a cultural touchstone.
It is.
Like, everybody...
People love it.
Love Beetlejuice. It's probably because it's so goddamn imaginative.
Can I ask a question?
No.
This is one of those off-air
things.
Oh,
okay. Just go ahead and do it anyways, but...
Well, yeah. I'm just clarifying, because maybe you'll say yes after I say this part.
Okay.
This is one of those things a better question for off-air.
Huh.
Now can I ask it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be fun to come up with a small... Maybe this is stealing a little bit from our friends up your butt and around the corner. I think it'd be interesting to come up with a small questionnaire for our guests of things like, do you like Beetlejuice? Who's your, When you think of Super Bowl champion, what team do you think of? Something that when we ask our talk to our guests, we could find out right away where their mindset is, you know? Okay. Because, like, could you imagine, like, if we ask somebody, it's like, when I think of, you think of Super Bowl champion, who do you think of? Somebody says Dallas Cowboys or Tom Brady, you're like, okay. Somebody says the Green Bay Packers, you're like, okay. Somebody says the Patriots, you're like, okay. I feel like it's maybe like a five-question Nostalgic Front questionnaire where we just learn a lot based on those five questions. And I think, do you like Beetlejuice? Is one of those things. Because I feel like if you're 22, you'll like Beetlejuice. I feel like if you're 42, you'll like Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe that is that not interesting? You're not interested in something like that?
Not right now in the middle of our episode.
Well, get out your paperwork because we're going to start filling this out. You know, this
okay.
is now.
I'm
this,
documented.
This is now. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. By the way, I would like to see your papers after we're done.
Zigzags.
Okay. First up was Tracy Carnazzo. Who said that her favorite scene was in the waiting room.
Oh, yeah.
All those scenes are great.
It's interesting. They added that entire scene.
Oh, really?
After production because Beetlejuice tested through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And they only had like fucking 10 minutes of him.
Oh,
the
so
movie.
They needed to add more.
So they're like, hey, we got to start with this Beetlejuice
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love all the all that waiting room shit. It's so good.
Ira Hicks said when they first summon him.
Oh, yeah, when he first pops up.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and meets
and
them.
Yeah, him and the couple and stuff mm-hmm. are great. And they quickly realize that guy is fucking crazy. Here's what I've wondered
weird.
About Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
What's he got the most of?
Yeah, you're right. He's the host with the most. We know that, but like
no, he's
the most
ghost
what?
With the most.
What'd I say?
Host.
Maybe. Hey, you're the host with the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Most NFers.
That's right. Nick Pfeiffer, he just posted a fun
Pfeiffer.
GIF. What is it?
Pfeiffer.
It's Pfeiffer. Ooh, okay, Pfeiffer. I like that. He just posted a good GIF of it's showtime, just him doing that. And then he said the entire movie. He loves the whole thing.
I was riding the M-Train the other day.
M-Train. Ooh,
and,
okay.
And then
I like
Beetlejuice
it.
Came out and started dancing, put on some music, and he was like, it's showtime.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun. That's fun. By the way, do you know this? What sports team had the Showtime? Was that the Showtime Lakers?
Yeah.
I think it was. Their HBO is making a television series about the Showtime Lakers called Showtime, and it's going to be on HBO.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah, yeah, because I can remember watching Beetlejuice.
On Showtime.
On HBO growing
yeah.
up, and then he's like, it's Showtime, and I'd have to check the TV
You'd
guide.
Be like, wait a
and
minute,
like,
this is
no,
HBO.
No, it's not.
It wouldn't be great if his catchphrase was, it's Encore.
he comes out, and he's like, stars has movies. Movies, movies, movies.
It stars Western. well, let's see.
Encore Black.
there was a, what was the, one thing that it reminded me of, the It's Showtime, that actual line. One thing I like is I like how Beetlejuice is similar to like a vaudevillian type thing. So when he does the part where when Lydia calls him and he really fucks with the after, you know, when he's like got the circus hat and the, all that stuff. When that ends, it just cuts to him smoking a cigar, and he's like, that's why I don't do two shows in a night no more. That's why I told him. And I like that little, like, fun, weird,
that's
inside baseball
really cool,
Showtime.
Shit, when they start getting old and dying, the Gina Davis.
Another thing that...
And his jaw falls off and stuff.
A real moment is that it's another thing that really scared me when I was young because...
He looks so sad.
Well, I had some family that had passed away around the same time, and... There's some connection between that and their funeral that it all goes in my head where it just kind of all mixes together. And I'm like, well, that's what happens when you die.
Mm-hmm.
You start fading away and your fucking mouth falls off. And that's one of those things that spooked me a lot when I was a little kid.
Spooked
the shit out of me. Uh-huh. Like the writer. Wasn't that his name? Scared the shit out of me. Okay.
Boy,
next up, we got a...
We sure got the deets on Beetlejuice, don't we?
We do, right? Brian York... he said, anyone know where a guy can get a little action around here? That's a good line. That's fun,
I like when he gets all those spikes.
Oh, yeah.
And then, they had that toy.
Mm-hmm.
I had that
toy.
Oh,
yeah.
Except for they didn't have spikes. You just put swords through
them. Yeah, you just put the swords right through them.
Martin,
and the swords I would use with Leonardo. And Leonardo's swords wouldn't go through him. They were a little too wide.
The swords, they were closer to like cocktail swords.
Yeah, but you could, Leo could hold them.
Oh, we're just going to skip that one. It's fucking people trying to do bits on our fucking show. Christopher Schlichting.
Hey, Martin Lathrop, go to an open mic, buddy. We love you. You're great. Iowa's fantastic, but come on.
He said, any scene with Otho.
Yeah, baby. Otho. You were right. Is that what you said before?
I said Ortho.
It's all the same.
All right.
You know how the difference between ortho and ortho is? Anti-pirate. Drop the R. Chris Olsen said the dinner table dance. That is great and like also very like uncomfortable. Like in an interesting
The idea of the six people sitting underneath the table for the entire time.
The arms.
With a shrimp glove.
The shrimp arm, yeah.
The shrimp glove on that's going to get ready to grab the face.
Everybody's,
and maybe how many times they missed.
Everybody's face.
Jeffrey Jones loves shrimp.
I mean, oh, gross. Okay, yeah, too late. Don't Google it. Everybody's face in that scene is what's so like awkward to me. Because imagine if you were like sitting at a dinner and everybody thought that was the cool thing to do. You'd be like, what the fuck? But then when you're taking part in it, you're like, how... It would like make my skin would fucking fall off. I'd be so embarrassed of having to go through that. Brian Van Gogh says when Beetlejuice puts on the same outfit as Baldwin to win him over. That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking. He's got that big old gut pushed out.
Yeah. Stevie Lee Crutcher, when the shrimp cocktails turn into hands. That's what we were just talking about. Those fuckers under the tables.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wash your hands after that, too, because you can't get shrimp off your hands.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like latex gloves. You ever have to wear a latex glove?
Yeah.
You can wash your hands for fucking 2 days. You still smell like goddamn latex.
Same thing.
Why I don't wear condoms?
You know, they make non-latex condoms.
Yeah, I'm still not into it.
Trent Norris said...
It doesn't feel as good, right?
Trent Norris said, I just remember that all my weird friends thought it was the coolest thing, and it just mostly creeped me out.
Yeah, Trent, I'm getting some of that, too. Yeah, I think it's still great, and I got to enjoy it as a kid, but a lot of scary things.
Mm-hmm.
What's this? Patry Hoglund?
Yep.
He said he watched the movie 5 times in a row when he first saw it. His favorite is when Gina Davis and the other guy put on the scary look at the office. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Especially Baldwin because he does the, when he sticks his hand into his freaking.
The way he like manipulates the back of his head.
Yeah. And then the hair off comes away as his hand goes through the back of his head. I wanted those toys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Gina Davis's has the eyeballs pop out under her tongue.
And it's a lot of
I would not want a long kiss goodnight from her.
Oh, pretty good. The thing with this too is with Beetlejuice, there's like a little connection between All Real Monsters and Beetlejuice. Color schemes and stuff like that. A lot of black and whites, a lot of like weird eyeball shit and stuff, you know? Like maybe there's some Google over there. Josh McClain, our good buddy Josh from Memphis.
Also when you open your mouth that wide, you have to go, "Ah."
Oh, you're right. Josh McClain from the band Heels out of Memphis. Says the now cut scene where he says, "Nice fucking model," and grabs his junk. Hey, buddy, I watched it on Amazon last night. It's not cut in there.
Yeah, when was that cut? Maybe he had Brian McGinnis's dad's copy.
Yeah. Maybe he just means like on television they won't show it. Like if they showed on like USA or something.
Uh-huh.
Jonas Barnes says the "Are you qualified?" scene. I love the whole movie In and Out. It's so good. Toll posted a good gif of just.
Nice fucking model.
Yeah.
That's one of the best. Because you know why everybody remembers that fucking part?
Because he says fucking, dude.
Because we're
cool.
All kids.
Yeah.
We get to watch the movie. It's PG.
Yeah.
They got that through.
It's
the MPAA.
It's this movie's damn.
Yeah.
Last month's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know?
Or from Transformers, the movie. Oh, shit. What are we going to do now?
Yeah. Jack Handy seconded. Nice fucking model. Justin Howe says, "We're here for your daughter, Chuck." Oh, yeah. That was very funny. That's very funny. That's so weird, too. The way the movie ends is so, he's convincing her he has to marry her, and then he's like, he pulls the ring out. Remember that? You know, like,
yeah.
He pulls a ring out to get off the other finger, and he goes, "She didn't mean nothing to me, honey. You know that." where are we at?
Was that Jen Lutz?
Ah, Lutz like boots.
She said, "I freaking love Beetlejuice. One year I dressed up as Beetle Lutz."
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I think I've seen that. I think she posted that on Instagram.
The dinner scene for sure, hands down. More like hands up into the face of the dinner guests.
Thank you.
That was my old ad.
Thank you.
My mom and I used to act it out while it played. One time Terry Pohl and I did the song for karaoke, but I couldn't think of Belafonte's name, so I wrote down Beetlejuice for the artist.
Oh, that's cool. Good. And it worked?
Yeah.
That's great. That's fucking great. We have now here from Real In Effort gave us one, and I've been butchering his name on this show.
Well, you took a good year and a half to learn how to say Lutz.
Lutz, yeah, we literally have a cheat sheet on our fucking thing, and goddamn it, somewhere he wrote how to say it correctly, and I'm still going to fuck it all up. Why don't you take a shot with it?
Michael Microwave Death.
That's not who I'm talking about.
Oh.
I was going to say Reed Bryant.
I thought you were going to look it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can do that. That makes sense. Yeah.
Michael Microwave Death said the best part, hands down, is when Alec Baldwin's mouth falls off. What? it's good.
Yeah.
And then I also like the visual, and it's always been cool. There's just so much visually that is just great in this movie. But when Gina Davis has to unzip her lip
to
try and say Beetlejuice, and then Beetlejuice throws a nice two-seam fastball metal plate right over her face after that.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that to my girlfriend sometimes.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Joey Villa Gomez says, when Beetlejuice says, "We've come to for your daughter, Chuck."
Yeah, that's fucking good line.
Everybody likes everything Beetlejuice did was memorable because there's so little of them.
His 20 minutes in this movie is a good
17.
Okay, so our NFer, whose name I just looked up, Brian Arginello.
That's exactly how I would have said it.
Is it?
Yeah, but thanks for.
I think I said Ari Ginello last time, but Arginello. He said when Barbara is hanging out in the closet and rips her face off, and then Otho just pushes her aside since they don't see them. That is the scene that fucking terrified
Barbara
me.
Does a lot of good eyeball stuff because that one too, her eyeballs come out of her face.
Yeah,
and it has some cool like. Scream track.
Yeah, it's a lot of good eyeball shit in this movie.
Uh-huh. And then finally, we got Cassandra D saying...
Ooh, spoiler, one more after that.
Cassandra D says, Juno, the caseworker, dealing with the idiot football players.
Oh, yeah.
But especially when the one dude is finally like, Coach...
I don't think we survived the plane crash.
It's such a fun extra layer of jokes that didn't need to be there to make the scenes work.
Yeah.
Also, I love... her cigarettes that come out of her throat.
Oh, yeah. That's the woman that died, that won the Saturn Award, the older woman who then passed away. This is her last role.
Wow, it's amazing she won a Saturn Award for blowing rings
and playing
of smoke.
Juno. Juno's like a space thing, right?
She didn't even look pregnant.
No, exactly, right? Where's the hot hamburger phone? I ain't seen that shit anywhere. Okay, and then our actual last one, because I just clicked and it fucking refreshed, and you fuckers come in hot with these. Eric Anthony said, the metaphors of the whole movie, the materialistic world versus people of love life, but ironically lose their lives, even the social worker trying to counsel the dead, and how to coexist the materialistic, even if it means being miserable.
That's exactly all I thought about the movie, too.
Yeah.
That's my biggest takeaway, was...
materialisticism. Mm-hmm. Goddamn.
And the materialism like that. Horsey?
Felt. I felt that and felt some material, so, you know.
Also, that's the dog from Frasier.
That can't be real. Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's
sport.
Wild. I like the...
Soccer.
I like the old barber that just rambling.
Barbara?
The barber out in front of when they go to their store, Maitland, before they die,
mm-hmm.
and Baldwin goes in and he's like getting into the thing, and then he comes out and the old barber's just sitting there being like, and then it came up and his hair went down to his shoulders. He's like, cut it short. And I'm like, I don't know. He's just been talking to nobody the whole time.
Also, one of the best opening credits of any movie.
Oh, yeah.
Just the music
mm-hmm.
is great, and just the whole flyover long shot of the
countryside,
what you think is countryside,
but
then,
it's the model.
Yeah, and then you have the big giant spider crawling over the house.
Is this was the music Elfman? Is
yes.
it Danny Elfman? It sounds like him, but yeah. God damn.
Well, if it's Tim Burton,
yeah,
it's Danny Elfman.
Yeah. Yeah. Goddamn, that's it.
Goddamn it, I think we did it, Patrick.
We did it. That's a fucking episode.
Yeah, that is. Why don't you tell some NFers where they can find you?
Well, listeners, goddamn it, tonight. If you are an NFer from upstate New York, or maybe central New York, because I'm not good with the geography of this goddamn state, you can watch me and you do stand-up comedy at Gaffney's in Saratoga Springs.
Jim Gaffney.
Again. Oh, write that down. With our friend of the show, fan of the show, real NFer, Gideon Hamburger. If you're also in that area, Vermont, tomorrow at the Waking Windows Music Festival, we'll be there. Jackknife Comedy on Saturday. You can follow me on Twitter at Patrick Hasty. That's at PATRICKHASTE. PatrickHasty.com for the rest of my dates. I got a lot of road stuff coming up in the next couple months. What about you, Reem? Where can they get you at?
You can find me at Reamcore.
R-E-A-M-K-O-R-E.
Reamcore with a K. Also check out House of Bricks Comedy.
Yeah.
Great comedy shows every second Friday. Every second. Just nonstop.
Totally. Yeah.
But every second Friday at Precious Metal. So check that shit out.
Yeah. And of course, listen, go give us iTunes reviews. Podbean.
iTunes?
You tune iTunes. We both tune for iTunes. Get on the Podbean, listen to the shows. Spread the word, tell your friends, shit like that. Oh, we are retiring these microphones, so you know what I mean.
Need new tires.
If somebody wants to give us $50,000 for one of our old microphones, you know, we'll take it. I'm just kidding. Obviously, we're gonna mail them all three to Mark Maron and see what he wants to do with them. We do thank everybody that is already on the Patreon for that. If you're not on the Patreon and you'd like to, that would mean the world too. But we understand that everybody's not there. We got some new Patreon stuff coming up soon. We're going to do some live episodes coming up soon. A lot of cool stuff coming up in the podcast. We're very stoked and excited for where we're at and where we're growing and where we're going. So spread the word. Tell your friends. Join the Nostalgic Front's AOL chat room on Facebook. Put anything you want in there, as long as it's not like crazy sketchy shit that we'll delete. But like, if you saw an article and you think that you want us to know about it, put it in there, you know, and that's what it's for.
Make sure you use manners, too. We want more of a chap room than a chat room, you know?
Yeah.
Just a bunch of blokes.
Or womaners.
Yeah. Well, I like to think it's a non-binary.
It is a non-binary home base. Tell your friends, be cool.
Never die.
Never die. And remember, if you're not an NFer,
you're an MFer. So get the fuck out of here.
Welcome to Brain Machine Network.com.